It's from Matthew chapter 27, verse 44. And the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him in the same way. And the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him in the same way. The verses preceding that talk about the people around the cross. And they're rebuking Jesus. They're mocking him. I don't care what art you have in your church, in your homes. We always see Christ on the cross, and he has a loincloth. That wouldn't have been so. He was naked, and he was ripped open, and he was bleeding, and he was suffocating to death. And here's this broken, defenseless man, in quotes. And it was at that moment that not only the priests and the scribes, not only the soldiers, the onlookers, chose to make fun of him. I'm talking about kicking a guy while he's down. Can't even defend himself. It wasn't only them. It was the criminals. It was the thieves on the right and on the left, also dying of the same sentence of crucifixion. They had the guts to mock him. To mock him. I remember the first time I read that verse, and it really threw me. You see, because I remember the story from church where it says there was the good thief and the bad thief, and I always thought if he was a good thief, why'd he get caught? So they have, tradition says the good thief's name was Dismas. It doesn't say it in Scripture, but that's what tradition says. So the good thief's on the right and the bad thief on the left. We all know this. You go to Palm Sunday Mass, you go to church, you go to the Stations of the Cross, and you hear the story. Jesus is, he's in the garden, he's weeping blood, he's unfairly tried, he's whipped and beaten, he's scourged, they crown him with thorns, they take a reed, they hit him in the head, they spit in his face, they strip him, they put a cloak back on him, that cloak now clots to his open wounds, they throw a beam across him, they push him down crowded city streets as he's falling. They make him carry his own weapon of death up a stony hill where he's stripped and nailed between two thieves. And then he starts talking over the span of those 3 hours. And what's one of the things he says? You read about it in Luke. The good thief says, "Remember me today when you're in paradise." Remember the story? The bad thief says, "If you're Jesus, do something. If you're Jesus, if you're God, get us out of here." And the one on the right says, go back and read it, Luke 23. The one on the right says, "Hey," he says to the other thief, "we deserve what's happening to us. But this man's done nothing wrong." He says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." See, that's the story I knew. And that's one of the hard parts about reading Scripture, because sometimes you get in the Gospels, and there's different stories. See, so Matthew says, and the robbers reviled him. So basically, at the beginning of the day, the beginning of that 3 hours, when he was put on the cross, both the thieves were reviling Jesus. Both the thieves were mocking him. Both of them were blaspheming him. But by the end, one of them changed. By the end, only one was reviling him. Now, when I was 7 years old, I loved G.I. Joes. Man, I loved him. I don't mean just like I liked him like, "Yo, Joe." I loved him. Dude, Kung Fu Battle Grip, okay? Before that, all the action figures just did this, like Barbie and Ken. No, these guys, Kung Fu Action Grip. You could bend their elbows. And I'll never forget this. I didn't have an allowance. There's too many kids in my family. You just, you know, did the work so you could eat. So basically, the only way to get money was you had to wait for Christmas, wait for your birthday. You had to earn it somehow. Well, I devised a plan. Well, both my brothers were up altar serving at Mass, and I was sitting back in the pews, like the good Catholics in the back. I'm sitting there, and as the basket would come by, I devised a plan with my brother one day, and the plan was something like this. When he went to pass me the basket, I was going to pretend to drop it. When the cash hit the ground, I was going to step on a 20. and I was going to scoop up all the other money, put it back in the basket, push it along. Because what happens after that? You kneel. Oh, man, and I had the plan. I mean, my plan, I had, I mean, for a seven-year-old, I mean, our diagrams in Crayola crayon, you know. But I was ready. I had the plan. I had the alibi. I had everything except the one most important thing: to be a thief. I lacked the will to do it. And every single mass that basket would come, my brother would give me the nod. I knew what the nod meant. And the basket would get there, and right when it was time to act like a thief, I lacked the will to do it, and I would pass the basket. You see, you can have all those other things, plan, right? You can have the getaway, the alibi, the innocent look when mom looks at you. You can even have, like, your escape, and that is if you get caught, you point to your brother, you're like. But to be a thief, you have to have the will to do it. You have to have the will to do it. Now, it's easiest for us sometimes to look at something like the crucifixion. You'll hear about it. Palm Sunday Mass, you'll hear about the account of the crucifixion. And it's easy for us sometimes to feel pretty good about ourselves. Wow, I'm not as bad as the centurion who stabbed him, not as bad as the soldiers who whipped him, not as bad as those thieves. I've never stolen a thing in my life. Really? Maybe you haven't shoplifted. I hope you haven't. The Bible's the most shoplifted book in the world. I think that's kind of funny. It is. Imagine they're surprised and they get into Exodus and they hit the Ten Commandments. Oh! But there's a reality that goes something like this. While I didn't have the act, I didn't have the will to steal that 20, I am a thief. Maybe I haven't stolen a car, I haven't stolen money, I haven't shoplifted. That's cowardly more than anything else. To take advantage of someone who puts their trust in you. That lacks integrity. It's cowardly. And people make mistakes. I understand that. But I am a thief. And I'd be willing to bet pretty much anybody, almost everybody in this room is too. Guys, if you've ever looked at a woman lustfully, you have stolen her dignity. And you are a thief. You can laugh and shake your heads and look the other way. But you come face to face with God and you search your heart, you're going to know it's true. Ladies, if you've ever looked lustfully at a guy, you've stolen his dignity. Through gossip, we steal people's reputation and good name. Through our language, oftentimes blasphemous, we steal the holiness of the very name of God on this earth. We abuse our sexuality with other people. We abuse their sexual dignity. We steal it. And we're not only stealing from them, we're stealing from their future spouse, if they're called to that. When we do anything, anything, that leads people away from God, we steal something from Him. I know I'm preaching to the choir, because you guys are coming to something like XLT, and you're working in your faith. But I have to share this with you, because this is how God revealed this to me, at least. I am a thief. The question is, which one? God is not okay with your sin. He's not. At all. Ever. We're living in a time where people will say, either that's not a sin, or God's love is bigger than that sin. The first one's a lie. There is sin. The second one's not, but it's twisted. See, God's love is bigger than sin, but He's not okay with it. A lot of times we think, you know what, we mistake God's mercy for weakness. Make no mistake, He is not weak, and He's not okay with your sin. But you think He is, and so do I. And why do I say that? Because most churches you go into, there's no line for confession. If we really believed that God was not okay with our sin, We wouldn't even have to stand up at Mass saying, I confess to Almighty God and you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned. Do you know how people would know? They would see the imprint of the carpeting on our forehead. If we really understood that God's not okay with our sin, you'd be able to walk into a room and people would go, do you have shag in your house? Shag carpeting? You'd be like, yeah, how'd you, oh, yeah. I was praying. Face down. Even in your prayer tonight. A lot of times our posture, our exterior posture, is a reflection of our interior posture. Jesus is going to come into your midst. You know what? We're supposed to kneel before God. Supposed to. But do you because you believe it's God? Do you because you know that you have sin? Do you because you know that without him, your sin means death, and he is your only shot? I think most of the time, I'm the thief on the left cross. I'm tempting Jesus. I'm yelling at him. I'm talking to him like he's my equal. Hey, if you're really God, do this. That sounds a lot like what I say to him. Hey, Jesus, if you love me, get me out of insert impossible situation here. Oh, Nick, I'm going to do him a favor. Oh, and if you do, then I will insert promise I plan to break in a week. I'm the thief on the left. Do you know what I want? I don't want his salvation because that means I have to change. What I want is his healing. I want him to make my life right. I'm going to take away the bad things that are happening, take away my pain, take away my anger, take away my bitterness, take away my loneliness, take away all those other frustrations. Take them away, God. You can come and heal me, but you cannot save me. I'm a patient in need of healing. And God's happy to heal you. But be careful. Because if you ask him to heal you, if you're going to be a patient who wants healing, you better be a penitent who wants salvation. You see, we have a lot of patience in our world and in our churches and in our homes and in our schools. People who want to be healed. We don't have very many penitents. People who come and repent and say, I am a thief, God. I have stolen, and I need you to save me. And I need you to save me. I want you to ask yourself, which thief are you? One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not Christ? Then save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence? And we justly, for what we have done, receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, this day, you will be with me in paradise. The thief on the left wanted all the bad stuff to go away. He didn't say he was sorry for what he'd done. He didn't repent. He just said, this hurts. Get me out of it. He wanted to be taken down. The thief on the right, when he looked Jesus in the eyes, that was reconciliation. That was confession. He looked at him and he confessed what he had done. We deserve what we did. Then he looks Jesus, he locks eyes, and he says, remember me. He's repenting. That's reconciliation. That's a sacrament right there on the cross. You know what he wanted? He didn't want to be taken down. He wanted to be taken up. He wanted to be taken up. The same Jesus. Not a representation, not a symbol, not a bunch of wheat crushed into bread made by nuns in the Alps, coming in some gold thing. The same Christ, the same God that we just read about and prayed about, that same Christ is going to be right here. And he's going to look, not everybody, he's going to look you right in the eyes. You. And the question he puts on my heart and on your heart, I know you're a thief because I've seen you do it, he says. I'm not okay with your sin. And now you have a chance. Now you have an opportunity. Do you want to be taken down? Or do you want to be taken up? If you think of it this way, the good thief, Dismas, on the right, he was like the first saint, or one of them, completely reconciled of his sin in a complete state of grace before he died. And Jesus promised he'd be with him that day in paradise. You have a chance to become a saint. I'm going to say this with as much love as possible. He is not okay with your sin, you guys. He's not. And he's not okay with mine. And if you need to go, don't walk. Run to reconciliation. Have the courage to look him in the eyes, lock eyes, and say, I deserve my punishment. You've done nothing wrong, God. Thank you for jumping on that cross for me. Remember me. You know what it means when it says remember? Become one with me. Become one member with me again. Remember me. Become one with me again. Take me up. Just pray with me. Just look inside yourself right now. Okay. And by the power of that same cross, the cross that God was butchered on, the cross that gives us a chance at heaven, reverently, gracefully, lovingly, appreciatively, sign yourself with that cross. Be mindful of what he did for us. What he did, that he did in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, open our hearts now. We got to open our eyes. Or show me where I've been a thief, Lord God. When I've stolen the name of others, Lord, when I've stolen the dignity of others. Lord, reveal to me those places in this world that I've allowed my words to tear down the kingdom, to tear down the body, to tear you down, Christ, and others. Lord, open my eyes to see the ways that I've used my body as a thief. Lord, stealing a love designed for you in moments of personal pleasure and selfishness. Lord God, open my eyes to see the ways that I've used my hands to steal. Lord, open my eyes to see the way that my words have stolen you. Have stolen your grace and your life from others, Lord God. Lord, I ask you to send your Spirit upon this place now, upon all who are listening to your word, God, that this day might not be the same. This night might be different, God. When we kneel before you this night, we can hear your voice. Lord, turn our hearts the way you turned the heart of that thief, who began by reviling you and rebuking you. And Lord God, after just being in your presence, had his heart turned. Lord, I pray this night, as we kneel in your presence, Lord, that you would turn one heart. God, turn one heart this night. Turn a patient into a penitent. God, turn one heart this night back to you. And Lord, make that my heart. Make that all of our hearts, God. Lord, we give you permission to heal us. And Lord, we beg you to save us. Lord, we know you are not okay with our sin. And Lord, we thank you for the chance at salvation. Lord, by our very lives, help us proclaim to all that the goal is not to be taken down, but to be taken up. Come and steal our heart, God. We give it to you. Lord, turn this sinner into a saint. Lord, turn this thief into a martyr. Lord, as you come into our midst this night, help us to hear your voice say, today, this day, you will be with me in paradise. Lord, help us to see your face in this Eucharist and in one another. And keep your promise, Lord God, that you will remember our sin no more.